friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in England, where Liverpool is hosting AS Roma of Italy this Tuesday evening in a first leg UEFA Champions League football semifinal. The Reds of Liverpool are being investigated by UEFA, European football's governing body, after their fans threw objects at the Manchester City team bus earlier this month when it arrived for a quarter-final match at Anfield. Liverpool's German manager had a special message for the club's fans ahead of the match against Roma.
Hello, Jürgen Klopp here. I want to send a message to all the Liverpool supporters who will be at Anfield on Tuesday night, but also those who will be in and around the city in the build-up of the game. You have a reputation in world football as being world-class. Passion, spirit, humor, but most of all, warm and welcoming. You make football about joy, and this is an occasion where we should embrace the moment and make it special, but for all the right reasons. Here at Melwood, the players, plus me and my staff, have nothing but total respect for our opponent, AS Roma. We respect them as people and as professionals. I know all true Liverpool supporters feel exactly the same. We want to beat them on the football pitch, but off the field, we show respect. So, I say, let's channel all our passion and all our support towards our team, our club. Anfield, on a European night, under the lights, semi-final. It's about showing our very best to the world, all of us together. The 90 minutes is when we are opponents. The rest of the time, they are guests and we their hosts. The atmosphere inside Anfield has been the true star of this European campaign. And on behalf of everyone involved with the team, I say thank you. And let's go again. You'll never walk alone.
Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp has received some very impressive performances this season from his Egyptian star Mohamed Salah, who has 41 goals in all competitions since signing with the Reds in June 2017. Ironically, the club that sold Salah to Liverpool is Roma, which will now try to stop the 2017 African Footballer of the Year and earn a place in the Champions League final on May 26th in Kiev, Ukraine. And let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to Mo Salah, who on Sunday won the Player of the Year award from England's Professional Footballers Association. Mighty Mo Salah has 8 goals in the UEFA Champions League this season, second only to Cristiano Ronaldo of Real Madrid, who has 15 goals. Portuguese star Ronaldo will be looking to add to his goal tally on Wednesday when Real Madrid visits Bayern Munich in the first leg of the other UEFA Champions League semifinal. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more football news, the Frenchman Henri Michel, who had extensive coaching experience in Africa, has died at the age of 70. No cause of death was given. Michel coached Cameroon, Morocco, Tunisia, and Ivory Coast at the World Cup, and he also had stints with the national football teams of Kenya and Equatorial Guinea. Michel also coached some of Africa's top clubs, including 2 spells in charge of Zamalek in Egypt and Morocco's Raja Casablanca, as well as South Africa's Mamelodi Sundowns. During his playing days, Henri Michel was a midfielder for France, and he made 58 international appearances for the French national team. Michel also coached the French national team from 1984 to 1988. In 1984, right here in the United States, Henri Michel led France to the gold medal in the men's football tournament at the Los Angeles Olympics. And 2 years later, at the 1986 World Cup in Mexico, Henri Michel led France to a third-place finish behind West Germany and trophy winner Argentina. Longtime French football coach Henri Michel, dead at the age of 70. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Cameroonian Football Federation, known as FECAFOOT, says it's received 77 applications for its vacant national team managerial post. A FECAFOOT official says the list will be narrowed down to 3 ahead of the interview stage. The new manager will succeed the Belgian Hugo Broos, who stepped down after leading the indomitable Lions of Cameroon to the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations title in Gabon. FECAFOOT says 3 of the men who have applied for the managerial job are former France national team coach Raymond Domenech, the German Lothar Matthäus, who lifted the World Cup trophy in 1990 in Italy, and Rigobert Song, who was Cameroon's longtime captain during his playing days. Well, during Monday's show, reporter Magumi Davis Rakawinge in Kampala told us about Uganda's Commonwealth Games team receiving a warm welcome home from Australia. One of the Ugandan athletes who received loud cheers is Joshua Kiprui Cheptegei, who became the 3rd man in history to win gold in the 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters at the same Commonwealth Games. In the 10,000 meters race, Joshua set a Commonwealth Games record of 27 minutes and 19.62 seconds. Joshua says the Ugandan government should invest more in sports facilities if the country is to keep winning gold medals in international competitions. Joining us now from the Ugandan capital, Kampala, is Magumi Davis Rakawinge, who has this profile of Joshua Kiprui Cheptegei.
The 22-year-old Ugandan long-distance runner started running when he was still a little boy. He says he would usually run after cows in his village in Sebe region of eastern Uganda, but little did he know he would participate in international sports events, let alone win gold.
Way back when I was young in primary, then I was just doing it for fun. I didn't know it was going to be all this. I was just doing it for fun, and you know, like when you go to graze animals, we would put pegs along the field. Then when the cows are grazing, we would run around the field. Yeah.
Just 5 years ago, the Cheptegei started training and participated in organized races. In 2014, Cheptegei participated in World Junior Championships in Eugene, Oregon, where he won the 10,000 meters race and was fourth in the 5,000 meters race. 2 years later, he participated in the 2016 in the Rio de Janeiro Olympic Games, where he placed 8th and 6th in the Olympics 5,000 meters and 10,000 meters finals, respectively. Since then, Cheptegei has gone on to win in regional and international competitions. But so far, the Commonwealth triumph ranks top of his achievements.
At the moment, I'm really so grateful and I'm privileged. I'm super excited for the double gold. And looking at back 1 year ago down the road, I was a different person. And after in the World Championship in August, I changed to be a little person by winning the silver medal. And then now I'm also a double gold medalist. So I hope I'm building a CV for myself in athletics, whereby in the future I want to become a legend and inspire a lot of people in the country, in the world, you know, in sports and also in different circles of life. Yeah.
Indeed, his story is already inspirational. In 2017, Cheptegei built an almost unassailable advantage in the men's race at the IWF World Cross Country Championship in Kampala, but with just 1 lap to run, he succumbed to fatigue and the disappointment of home fans, finished in the 30th position. Fellow Commonwealth participant Robert Chemwange says he learns from him that hard work pays.
Yeah, I learned that we need to train hard. Because when Joshua was running, he was running with Kenyans. And I had to run, so it gave me a lot of hope that also if we train hard, we can still also perform better.
Cheptegei's exploits at the Commonwealth is already bearing fruits. The government has promised to build him and his fellow gold medalist Stella Chesang houses. He has also been promoted by the police and his salary increased a double fold. But he says the government has one more thing to do.
You know, we don't have the right infrastructure and the facilities, you know, like the Kenyans and the Ethiopians, they have better facilities. So if we want to see many Cheptegeis, they're going to finish up the project intermediate, which will be able to spark and, bring out so many champions. We have so many of them, thousands of them in the villages there. So if the government can support from grassroots level, then we shall be headed for success.
In 2010, the government pledged to construct the National High Altitude Training Center as a way to appreciate Moses Kipsiro for winning 2 gold medals at the 2010 Commonwealth Games. Standing at 2,573 meters above sea level, the facility is expected to be the highest in East Africa. After Cheptegei's success at the just-concluded Commonwealth Games, President Yoweri Kaguta Museveni has promised to fast-track the project that has since stalled. For the Sony side of sports, I am Mugume, Davis Ruakarinj in Kampala.
Thanks, Mugume. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Elsewhere in African athletics, Sunday proved to be a great day for Kenya at the London Marathon. Olympic marathon champion Eliud Kipchoge won the men's title, and Vivian Cheruiyot, the reigning Olympic 5,000 meters champion, won the women's title in the British capital. In fact, 4 of the first 5 women across the finish line in London were from Kenya. Defending London champion Mary Keitany of Kenya was hoping to make an attempt on Paula Radcliffe's 15-year-old women's marathon world record of 2 hours, 15 minutes, and 25 seconds. But Mary went out too fast on a hot day in London, and she faded to 5th place in 2 hours, 24 minutes, and 27 seconds. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Mary Keitany on Monday, the day after the big race. Here's Andy.
Well, Mary Keitany set off in tremendous style in the London Marathon and looked so strong. She looked like she was on world record pace potentially. She paid for that early pace. Mary, you've had 24 hours now to think about that race, and it was a brave finish too to come in there, and everybody saw how tough it was, even for an elite runner like you, to finish a marathon when things have gone wrong. Can you take stock now and think, well, should I have gone so fast? Or what? I tried to do something special, and okay, sometimes it doesn't work. What are your thoughts now, one day after?
Okay. First of all, I want to say that yesterday's race was the most difficult event that I've done so far since I ran a marathon. And I can say I used to run at the beginning very fast, and the condition was not good at all. So I think I made a mistake. And as I said earlier, that I blame myself. So always in marathon, you have to learn every now and then. So sometimes marathon is a marathon. So I know I did not manage to do what I wanted, but I'm still having in mind that one day, one time, I have to try to do my best. And
I think every marathon runner, whether they're elite like you or mass, sooner or later has the experience of a marathon going wrong, and it's so hard. When you started to slow down, what was in your mind? Did you think that you could recover and still win?
When I started to slow down, is that What came in my mind is that because the condition was so bad, so I thought I have to keep going. I didn't want to give that mentality of maybe trying to stop. For me, I wanted actually to cross the line, although I was not in that mood, but I tried my best and I just crossed the line.
Were those the hardest conditions you've had for a marathon?
Yeah, absolutely. I can say yes. Because when I compare 2011 and 2018, is much different. The 2018 was a bit tough.
A bit tough. I think that's, yes, putting it mildly. Well, you have some consolation, shall we say. You're the Abbott World Marathon Majors Series winner for the women, for the series which is just completed, and that's been awarded to you in London this year. I mean, are you feeling, once you recover from this, still hungry and strong to go on to challenge to run more of the big city races? And indeed, we've got the Olympics coming up, Tokyo, in 2 years. I mean, would you still be looking to be competing at the top flight? This has just been one setback only.
For me, I want to say that I'm happy that I got the Abbott World Marathon Major Series and becoming first position is that I want to thank God, because actually yesterday I did not receive the way I wanted, so actually God was on my side and I've won these matches, so I think it motivated me a lot, and I think I have to focus again ahead and train as usual and try to do my best in the other races. When it comes to Tokyo 2020, is that still far? I know it's we still have some more years. And for me, for us Kenya, we are many, those who are talented, and a lot of marathoners are there. So, and also our selection in in Kenya is that it's more difficult to choose who will be going and who will not be going. So for me, I have to be ready in any case, and I have to put my focus in training and bear in mind that there is always tomorrow and there is time for everything.
Well, Mary Kaitani, disappointment, of course, in London, but I think everybody respects how bravely you ran to the finish. Not everybody would have, as we say, gutted it out to finish in London. Thank you, Mary, and all the best for the future. Thank you, Mary Kaitani.
Okay, thank you too.
And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for that interview with Kenyan athlete Mary Kaitani in London. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow The Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, those addresses, facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and on Twitter, @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a nice photo of Eliud Kipchoge and Vivian Cheruiyot, the Olympic champions from Kenya, who won the men's and women's titles on Sunday at the London Marathon. The photo was taken by Reuters photographer Peter Zabora, and it shows Eliud and Vivian standing in front of the iconic Tower Bridge in London with their hands on a very large running trophy. With 51 days to go until the kickoff of the FIFA World Cup in Russia, how about another fun World Cup fact for our Voice of America listeners? 51 is also the number of goals scored by Thierry Henry, France's all-time leading scorer. Thierry Henry lifted the World Cup trophy in 1998 when France hosted the International Football Jamboree. He also won trophies at UEFA Euro 2000, which was co-hosted by Belgium and the Netherlands, and the FIFA Confederations Cup in 2003, another international tournament that France hosted. The 40-year-old Henri is now an assistant coach with World Cup-bound Belgium, which is in Group G at Russia 2018, along with Panama, Tunisia, and England. The Belgians will play their first World Cup match against Panama on June 18th in Sochi, Russia. Sochi was the venue for the 2014 Winter Olympics. The World Cup officially kicks off June 14th in Moscow, where Russia will host Saudi Arabia in the opening match. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, an update on the National Basketball Association playoffs. So please, keep on the sunny side.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
In National Basketball Association playoff results Monday night, the Houston Rockets defeated the host Minnesota Timberwolves 119-100, and the Utah Jazz beat the visiting Oklahoma City Thunder 113-96. Houston and Utah now lead their respective first-round playoff series 3-1. So one more victory by either club will see them through to the second round. Houston was once again led by the beard, James Harden, still sporting my favorite beard in basketball. Harden fired in 36 points, including 22 in the third quarter for the Rockets. Once again, they lead the Minnesota Timberwolves now 3-1. And as I mentioned on Monday's show, Harden is my pick to win this year's Most Valuable Player trophy in the NBA. In Utah's victory over the Oklahoma City Thunder, the big star was rookie Donovan Mitchell. He had 33 points for Utah. Those 33 points, in fact, are a Jazz rookie playoff record. Utah now leading 3-1 over the Oklahoma City Thunder. There will be three more playoff games in the NBA later Tuesday night. In Boston, Massachusetts, the Boston Celtics will host the Milwaukee Bucks in Game 5 of that series, which is tied at 2-each. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the Philadelphia 76ers will host the Miami Heat. Philadelphia, sporting one of the youngest lineups in the NBA, leads that series 3-1. Philadelphia's young star center from Cameroon, Joel Embiid, says the future is now for the 76ers. Don't look at our age. We can win. We can go to the NBA Finals the way we're made up. And in Oakland, California, the Golden State Warriors, the defending NBA champions, will host the San Antonio Spurs. The Warriors lead that series 3-1. And that wraps up the April 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Linus Rimkus. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The humanitarian crisis in the Democratic Republic of Congo is one of the worst in the world. 13 million people in the DRC are in need of humanitarian assistance. At least 4.5 million have been displaced. More than 7 million face severe food insecurity, and 2 million children are at risk of starvation. Although the country is rich in natural resources, the causes for the catastrophic humanitarian situation are manifold, stemming from persistent insecurity driven by the activities of armed groups and ethnic tensions in several regions. The political impasse resulting from delayed elections has also undermined state authority and risks increased violence and unrest. While elections alone will not solve the DRC's many challenges, they are critical to ensuring a democratic and peaceful transition, averting violence, and strengthening democratization, stability, and economic development. International donors recently convened in Geneva for a United Nations conference aimed at helping to relieve the suffering of the Congolese people. The response was encouraging, with pledges offered of $528 million. UN Emergency Relief Coordinator Mark Lowcock said he was pleased with the progress made toward the $1.7 billion funding goal for the DRC. "And I'm even more pleased," he said, "that there are additional pledges that governments are working on." The United States is providing nearly $67 million in additional humanitarian assistance to provide food, shelter, health care, and other urgent aid for vulnerable Congolese and refugees. State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert noted that the United States is the largest single donor supporting this humanitarian response. "With the new announcement," she said, "we are providing nearly $277 million since fiscal year 2017 in critical assistance to the people in need in the DRC and for Congolese refugees in the region." Ms. Nauert urged more donors to provide resources to help those suffering in the DRC, and she called on the government there to take steps to address the underlying causes of insecurity that have given rise to the displacement and conflict that have fueled the humanitarian crises. She welcomed the pledges from the other donors at the Geneva conference, which, at $500 million, was on par with the entire amount raised in 2017. Eight countries more than doubled their support, she noted, and major pledges came in from the United States, the EU, the United Kingdom, Belgium, Sweden, and Canada. So we thank those countries for their assistance.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
I'm Lienor Moudou, host of Health Chat. April 23rd to 29th is African Vaccination Week. The theme, Vaccines Work, Do Your Part. Next week on Health Chat, we will have the latest updates in immunization and look at what is being done on the African continent. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat, this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, join us for a special broadcast on autism, hosted by VOA health correspondent Lenore Madu. She will host a panel of experts to demystify the developmental disorder.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.